Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, October 15th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with Town Eyes Maxwell Park Overhaul. Normal. Maxwell Park could get new bocce courts, improved baseball fields, and more parking if the town secures a state grant next year. The Normal City Council will consider this evening signing off on an application for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Open Space Land Acquisition and Development Grant, which could bring in $400,000 to overhaul the park at 307 North Parkside Road in West Normal. Quote, "Whenever there is a grant opportunity, we certainly want to explore it," said City Manager Pam Reese. "This has been part of our unfunded projects for a while. We worked with Hitchcock Design Group of Chicago to put together a budget, which we believe could get a lot accomplished." End quote. The town would spend $250,000 in capital projects money and $150,000 in parkland dedication funds for that project, which also includes an improved cross-country course, a reconfigured disc golf course, a bigger dog park, natural habitat restoration, and connections to future trail extensions. Right now, there are conflicts between disc golf and the cross-country course, which is used by the Illinois Elementary School Association and Illinois High School Association events, said Reese. We would like to modify that and make it even better. Officials expect DNR to release its grants in 6 to 8 months, and then the town would finish details for design and construction. The Normal City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight in the council chambers on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. In other business, the council will consider an agreement for Iowa-based Bush Construction to build a $29.2 million development on the northeast side of Uptown Circle. A Bush representative is expected to attend tonight's meeting, said Reese. Plans to expand the Ameren substation at 809 Pine Street into 807 Pine Street. The utility objected to town guidelines for landscaping and paving on that site, but the Normal Planning Commission recommended upholding them. The council will make the final decision. Licensing Illinois State University to use town right-of-way on College Avenue between Main and Kingsley Streets, including building a fence on the north edge of an ISU parking lot. Reese said the fence is intended to encourage pedestrians to go to crosswalks rather than jaywalk from the parking lot to the north side of college, which borders Hancock Stadium and Redbird Arena. A final development plan for the park at Constitution Trail Center, a 4.76-acre, 85-unit apartment complex, which will open next summer east of the AMC Classic 14 Movie Theater at 201 West McKnight Street. Video gambling licenses for Rosati's Pizza at 1720 Bradford Lane and Kochi Sushi at 1540 East College Avenue. Those are on the Normal Local Liquor Commission agenda. The commission has the same members as the city council. It meets immediately before the meeting at 6:50 p.m. in the council chambers. End of article. Fair to offer free legal advice. Bloomington. The twice yearly free legal advice fair will return from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on October 27th, which is a Saturday, at Mid-Central Community Action, 1301 West Washington Street in Bloomington. That fair is for people who meet Prairie State Legal Services financial guidelines, meaning their annual household income is less than 200% of the federal poverty level. Volunteer attorneys and paralegals from the McLean and Livingston County Bar Association, the Paralegal Association, and State Farm Law Department assist people with issues such as child support, evictions, immigration, and expungement of criminal records. For an appointment, you may call 309-827-5021. 309-827-5021, extension 6801. End of article. Corn-like issues challenge. Heartland students eligible for pass the president in 5K race. Normal. Heartland Community College President Keith Corneal is providing students with extra incentive to run, and run fast in the school's Heartland Harvest 5K. He will personally pay the race registration fee of any Heartland student who posts a better time than him in the Saturday race, an event which raises money for Heartland Community College Foundation scholarships. I was talking with one student just the other day. She said it motivated her to sign up, said Cornell. All are welcome to sign up for the race, but only Heartland students are eligible for the Pass the President promotion. A 1 mile walk is also part of that event. The registration fee is $25 if received by Friday and $30 on race day. Runners can sign up at heartland.edu or they may register at Heartland's Fitness and Recreation Center starting at 7:30 a.m. on race day. The race starts at 9 a.m. The top three finishers in six age groups will receive awards. The Lake Run Club will provide timing. Post-race snacks will be provided at the Fitness and Recreation Center, where that race will finish. The route will take runners through the campus to the corn crib and back. There will also be a pre- and post-race exhibition with promotions and giveaways. Cornell said it would be an overstatement to call him a competitive runner, but he does run regularly for fitness and stress relief. Quote, I am thinking about wearing a little something so they can see me from behind as I'm pulling away, he said with a smile, end quote. Cornell, who joined Heartland in July as its fourth president, sees the challenges as a way to further meet and connect with students while also raising money to ease financial barriers to education. End of article. Foundation taking grant applications. Bloomington. Illinois Prairie Community Foundation is accepting applications for 2019 grants in two categories through October 31st. The foundation's Women to Women Giving Circle has $38,000 available for grants, and the foundation's Youth Engaged in Philanthropy has $10,000 available for grants. Money comes from endowments held at the foundation, designated gifts, and individual donors. Women to Women Giving Circle seeks to improve lives of women and children in Central Illinois. It is focusing 2019 grants on programs which develop the potential in girls up to age 5 and their families, teachers, and caregivers. Women to Women grants require applicants to collaborate with another organization. Youth Engaged in Philanthropy grants are selected by 21 area high school students for youth-focused programs, with priority given to organizations which include youth in the application process. Successful applicants are expected to receive an average of $3,500, said Michelle Evans, the foundation's Grants and Communications Director. Applicants will receive funding in January. Potential grantees will find links to those application forms at ilprairiecf.org/fall-grants. ilprairiecf.org/fall-grants. Applicants must represent a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, a local county, state, or federal government, a school or a college, or a tax-exempt religious organization. Programs must be available to residents of McLean, DeWitt, Livingston, or Logan counties. End of article. Second Honors Rotary, Normal. Normal Rotary Club has named Students of the Month for October. They are Matthew Trimble, Bloomington Area Career Center, and Normal Community West High School. Mariama Willembwe, Normal Community High School, and Parker Matheson University High School. Trimble, son of Chris and Jen Trimble of Normal, is involved in Police Explorers, a leader in youth group and a member of National Technical Honor Society. Milambwe, daughter of Stacy and Mbokwa Milambwe of Bloomington, is involved in leading worship at Eastview Christian Church, counselor at Camp 45, Homes for Haiti, and the soccer team. Matheson, son of Michelle and Craig Matheson of Bloomington, has worked with kids sport camps in Miracle League of Central Illinois and has been captain of the baseball and football teams. Scholarships, Bloomington. Taylor Thomas and Kara Freudcourt were awarded $400 scholarships, and Sam Clement was ordered a $500 scholarship by the McLean County Association for Home and Community Education, HCE. Thomas, a 10-year member of the Ardent Tillers 4-H Club, is a sophomore psychology major at the University of Evansville, Indiana, and intends to become a physician assistant. She is the daughter of John and Tina Thomas of Bloomington. Freudcore, 9-year member of the Hudson Ag 4-H Club and the Mighty Mutts 4-H Spin Club, is a freshman attending North Central College studying neuroscience toward becoming a veterinarian. She is the daughter of Stephen and Stephanie Freudcore of Hudson. Clement, a 10-year member of the Towanda 4-H Club, is a freshman at Iowa State University and plans to pursue a doctorate in history. He is the son of Scott and Margaret Clement of Normal. End of articles. More defendants argue for mental health care. Bloomington. From the moment bodies were found, the killings made no sense. What caused a father to put his daughter, a toddler, in the crosshairs of his rage? When police were called August 20, 2009, to a home in the 600 block of South Madison Street in Bloomington, they found 14-month-old Erica Meese inside with serious head injuries. Her father, Thomas Meese, was seen outside swinging a baseball bat before police arrived. Erica died the following day at a Peoria hospital. Her father was charged with murder. Authorities found Brian Peterson's violent acts equally puzzling. On July 31, 2016, police found Peterson's father, Bruce Peterson, on the front porch of his home west of Bloomington, bleeding heavily from multiple stab wounds. His wife, Nancy, was inside with fatal knife injuries. Their son was charged with their murders. Beyond the initial shock and grief, the murders raised questions about the mental conditions of both defendants at the time they killed those closest to them. The process of holding people legally accountable for their actions, taking into account mental health issues, involves a complex legal framework of evaluations, treatment, and ongoing review by judges of a person's progress while in treatment. Meese and Peterson were both found not guilty by reason of insanity, meaning neither man understood the criminality of their actions because of the mental illness both suffered at the time of the incidents, psychiatrists said in both cases. The consequences of such severe mental breakdowns can be devastating, said McLean County Public Defender Brian McEldowney, whose caseload includes many people diagnosed with a mental illness. When the breakdown does not resolve into harm to others, the results can be positive, he said. Peterson's mental health significantly improved after his arrest and treatment at McFarland Mental Health Center in Springfield. The insanity finding, commonly referred to as NGRI, means the 27-year-old will remain in a state facility until doctors determine he has fully recovered and can safely return to the community. Meese, now 56, is expected to be released early next year from an Elgin Mental Hospital to a halfway house in Springfield. The transfer has been delayed several times while a treatment plan and details of that release are completed. Meese's attorney, Hal Jennings of Bloomington, argued that Meese is ready to leave the hospital. Former McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers, now a judge, had reservations last year about Meese's release, especially a mere handful of years after the murder occurred. Most NGRI cases are resolved through stipulated hearings where the state and defense agree the defendant was mentally ill at the time of the offense. The time required to gather evidence for such a conclusion can take time, but the outcome has the potential to drastically reduce the amount of time an individual spends in pretrial custody in the jail before transfer to a treatment facility, which can best provide treatment services the individual needs, said McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp, who recently succeeded Chambers. The average stay in a state facility for NGRI defendants is 4 years, far less than the number of years the state is allowed to hold people for treatment under a state law which says treatment cannot exceed the maximum prison term a person could have received if convicted of that crime. For a small population of patients at McFarland and other facilities, however, the NGRI designation amounts to a life sentence. After patients reach their statutory release date, the state can seek a civil commitment which keeps them in treatment based on a doctor's assessment that they will remain too dangerous to be released. The majority of people living with a mental illness never become involved in the criminal justice system, but for the growing number of defendants of mentally ill who are charged with a crime, their illness can play a significant role in the outcome of their cases. Defendants deemed mentally unfit to stand trial after a psychiatric evaluation are sent to a state facility for treatment. The average stay at McFarland's 142-bed facility is 45 days for such patients, said Clinical Director Don Henke. The short-term treatment is narrowly focused on competency issues, and it should not be considered a full recovery. The number of beds needed for forensic patients, people committed to a facility by the court, has dwindled drastically, said Henke, with about 700 available beds in the entire state. As state resources decrease, the demand for treatment mushroomed greatly, not just in the central region, but the entire state, said Henke. County jails wait weeks or sometimes longer for a bed after a finding of unfit to stand trial. A third legal option is the guilty but mentally ill finding, in which a defendant is deemed guilty and suffers from a mental illness less severe than his NGRI counterpart. End of article. Chamber awards offered. The McLean County Chamber of Commerce is accepting applications for its Business Excellence Awards, which will be announced on January 26th at the Chamber Gala. The awards honor member businesses, agencies, and individuals for outstanding performance, quality customer service, and business distinction in the categories of new and emerging business, microbusiness, small business, large business, nonprofit excellence, and legacy of excellence. The Green Excellence Award has been retired. Nomination forms are at McLean County, it's McLeanCOChamber.org. And those are due by 5 p.m. on November 9th. The nominees are judged and selected by chamber executives from across the state. November 9th is a Friday. So those nominations are due at McLeanCOChamber.org by 5 p.m. November 9th. End of article. Normal to I redevelopment agreement. Normal is on track to trade up to $8 million in future property tax revenue, 300 parking spaces, two historic buildings, and a beloved art installation for Uptown's next redevelopment project. Iowa-based Bush Construction would receive tax increment financing, TIF dollars, parking spaces across Uptown, and buildings at 104 and 108 East Beaufort Street, including the demolition which the community including the demolition of the community mural on the side of 104 East Beaufort to develop a $29.2 million building on the northeast side of Uptown Circle. Quote, this reinforces the fact, with the TIF extension, we have some flexibility to support development, said Normal City Manager Pam Reese, of an agreement between the town and Bush to be considered tonight by the Normal City Council. It is very exciting because the end result will be an occupiable building and shortly thereafter increase property values. End quote. If the council approves that agreement, Bush is expected to submit preliminary plans to the town within 90 days. Construction could begin next spring. That building would open in summer of 2020 with first-floor retail, higher-level commercial offices, including the Farnsworth Group engineering firm and top floor residential space. Normal plans to dedicate $8 million in future property taxes to the Trail East project through 2039 via its Uptown TIF district. That lets officials move new property tax revenue generated in the area away from taxing bodies, such as school districts, to incentives for private developers or infrastructure. This summer, state officials approved a 13-year extension to the TIF district, with the condition that already developed properties begin paying property taxes to local taxing bodies in 2026, as previously scheduled. Normal Finance Director Andrew Hune said Bush could use a third-party investor to turn the expectation of the $8 million into $4.2 million available now. It then would combine the available money with $10.1 million in debt, $8.9 million in owner equity, and $6 million in federal New Market tax credits to fund the project. The town assumes no financial risk because the TIF money is only generated if the building is finished and produces additional property taxes, said Hune. Bush also is expected to benefit from the local enterprise zone, a state designation which offers incentives, including charging no sales tax on building materials. That project is expected to cost 350 parking spaces in all. Bush will receive 200 spaces in the College Avenue parking deck at varying discounts and eventually market rate, and 70 spaces in undetermined locations, including 30 now used by the Farnsworth Group. 80 spaces in a surface lot would be replaced by the building. Quote, we've got staff right now doing an analysis of how many agreements we have out there for certain parking spaces and doing an assessment of that, so we are okay with our parking obligations in addition to providing parking to the public, said Reese. We plan to keep working on that. End quote. Bush is expected to demolish 104 and 108 East Beaufort Street, formerly the Pod and Slingshot Co-work spaces, both owned by the town. The Windy City Wieners building at 106 East Beaufort remains privately owned and likely will not be part of the project, said Reese. Reese also said officials have determined there is no way to save the community mural added to the Pod in 2011, but they still hope to replace it with a different installation. She suggested routine tuck pointing would have eventually wiped out the mural regardless. The Normal City Council will meet tonight at 7 p.m. in the council chambers on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. End of article. Area calendar. Registration Thanksgiving Book Page Art, 10 a.m. to noon on November 1st or 6 to 8 p.m. on November 6th. Normal Public Library. Registration is required. You may contact normalpl.org. Registration 3D Printing Ocarina of Time, 6 to 7 p.m. on November 14th. That is a Wednesday. Community Room of the Bloomington Public Library for grades 6 to 12. Registration is required and space is limited. Call 309-828-6093, 828-6093, or bloomingtonlibrary.org. An Inside Look, A Doll's House, today, 7 till 8 p.m. at the Normal Public Library. Sneak peek of Heartland Theater's upcoming show. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County Circuit Court. Phillips, Jeffrey and Susan Phillips. Peters, Joshua and Danielle Peters. Laffey, Eric and Joanna Laffey. Kelch, Renee and Robert Kelch, Jr. Moorfield, Rebecca and Timothy Moorfield. And Miners, M-E-I-N-E-R-S, Andrew and Candy Miners. End of article. Legal expert to speak at event. Immigration Project luncheon set tomorrow. Normal. One of the nation's leading immigration attorneys will deliver a keynote speech tomorrow for the fall fundraising luncheon. For the fall fundraising luncheon for the Immigration Project. Mary Meg McCarthy is Executive Director of Heartland Alliance's National Immigration Justice Center, which has built a national network of more than 1,500 attorneys who donate their time to help thousands of individuals every year with immigration issues. The luncheon will be from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Prairie Room of Illinois State University's Bone Student Center in Normal. Reservations are required for this event and may be made at immigrationproject.org, immigrationproject.org. Or you can contact A.J. Kerfman at 829-8703, 829-8703, extension 104. Sponsors have covered the cost of the luncheon to allow all donations to go to the Immigration Project. The Immigration Project also will honor Marinella Diaz with its Immigration Hero Award. Diaz works as a bilingual parent liaison for Normal-based McLean County Unit 5, helping parents communicate with the school district. She also has served as a volunteer at Unit 5's Cedar Ridge Elementary School in Bloomington with the Bilingual Parent Advisory Committee. The Immigration Project provides legal services to immigrants in 82 Illinois counties outside Chicago. In 2018, the Immigration Project has assisted 900 immigrants with legal issues, including immigration status, domestic violence, and asylum cases. End of article. Marriage licenses, McLean County. Jason Robert Ronald Feger and Abby Lynn Hoffert, both of Bloomington. Robert Eugene Witt Jr. and Tracy Marie Wilson, both of Bloomington. Brock Allen Bauer of Normal and Kristen Ann Steininger of Hudson. Robert Dean Hendricks and Margaret Rose Stephen, both of Bloomington. Blaine Thomas Johnson and Heidi Marie Wilson, both of Hayworth. Nathaniel Edward Hines and Glenda Arias Cruz, both of Bloomington. Ian Matthew Galloway and Jennifer Elaine Chedister, both of Normal. Scott James Fitchhorn and Laura Lee Ann Hearn, both of Bloomington. Richard Allen Riley III and Kara Brooks Sachs, both of Normal. Timothy John Terpstra and Macy Leanne Hatfield, both of Allegan, Michigan. Alexander Herman Hackle and Jennifer Lynn Ringsby, both of Bloomington. Jacob Austin Phillips of Normal and Victoria Ann Brown of Bloomington. Lucas Dane Sorensen and Allison Ann Lockenbitz, both of Bloomington. Donald Lee Badgerow III and Kelsey Lynn Howerton, both of Delavan. Christopher Joseph Petkus and Danielle Corinne Concordia, both of Atlanta, Georgia. Timothy Edward Houchins and Patricia Ann Anderson, both of Colfax. End of article. Today's flick flat fact. True or false? Considered one of the world's wonders is the Grand Canyon at the Utah-Arizona border. Perhaps lesser known is that it was named by a professor of geology at Illinois Wesleyan, who also lectured up the street at Illinois State University. Answer. That is true. A prolific sort, John Wesley Powell fought in the Civil War and lost an arm in the Battle of Shiloh, but he came back to Illinois, taught at Illinois Wesleyan University, and lectured at ISU. He often made trips with Central Illinois students, faculty, and fellow adventurers to the Great American West. End of article. Man, are women different than men? Bill Flick. So the autumn chill has arrived. We might be seeing summer in the rearview window as jackets, sweatshirts, gloves, even earmuffs are getting dug out again. Except for some men. Ever notice, even after a change of seasons, you often see men, particularly while out for a jog or a quick jaunt in the car to the store, still in shorts? That is a difference between men and women, but it is certainly not the only one. At this time, we will take a short break.